if people want to call in.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Wendy Weiss. She is the queen of cold calling. If you'd like to speak with her, give us a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room and or email us at info@applecapitalgroup.com. And we'll reach our questions on the air. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I guess to begin with, our listeners like personal views, personal stories from our host. So if you don't mind, just tell us about yourself for the ones that don't know you and kind of share us in your own way who you are.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to do that. I am known as the Queen of Cold Calling. One of my very first clients dubbed me the Queen of Cold Calling because I was able to help him generate so much new business. And I was never supposed to be the Queen of Cold Calling. I was supposed to be a ballerina. I grew up in Pennsylvania. And I moved to New York City, where I still live and work, and I moved here when I was a teenager to dance. And then eventually, like every artist in New York City, I needed a day job, and I ended up getting a job with a telemarketing company that did appointment setting, and it turned out I was good at it. Who knew?
Wow.
'Cause ballet dancers don't talk. We dance. We don't talk. And so I did that for a while, and then eventually I started my own business where I had clients that I would represent. And then I segued into the business that I have today. The business that I have today is working with sales professionals, with business owners, consultants, entrepreneurs, people that need to develop new business. And I've got to tell you that I feel like I'm doing something that's pretty important, especially today, because it's hard out there still. So my business is teaching sales professionals, business owners, et cetera, to use the phone to generate new business. That's what I do.
Wow. I guess if you will look at it today, I think one of the fears of any salesperson, it's cold calling. It's like a nightmare because you're really putting yourself out there and you have all this fear of rejection. If we go step by step and to open the doors and to keep them from being closed for you, what advice do you give an account exec who has to make a cold call?
Well, the first thing I would say to that account exec is that cold calling has been very demonized. The concept of cold calling has been very demonized, and the conversation about it is always tends to be very emotional. It's about rejection or overcoming rejection, and you know, in your question to me, you mentioned rejection, and that's typically how people think about it. However, I think it's time to have a new conversation. If you think about it, there are the facts and there are the stories you tell yourself about the facts. The facts are you need to develop some new business. You're going to pick up the phone. You're going to dial it. You're either going to reach the person you're trying to reach or not. When you reach that person, you're going to say something and they're going to say something. Those are the facts. The stories, that's everything else. I'm bothering them. I'm interrupting them. They're going to say no. They're going to reject me. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What if you believed instead that you were calling someone because you've done your homework, you had a pretty good idea that this person had a problem that you could help them with. And when you made the phone call, they were actually really delighted that you had contacted them because they did indeed need some help. Well, if that's what you believed about what you were doing, how would your ability to do it change? And also, how would your results change? And so what I would encourage anyone that's listening to this that needs to make prospecting calls is you do need to look at what you believe about what you're doing, because the belief that you're simply going to be rejected, that nobody wants to talk to you, and on and on and on, those are not beliefs that help you be successful at anything at all. And so I'm not saying here that you have to love the cold call. What I am saying is you really want to get to neutral, because neutral is a place you can function. Neutral is a place where you can learn the skills that you need to be effective doing this. But if you are scared to death and believe that it won't possibly work, then you're not going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
What are the successful ingredients of making a successful cold call? We already identified identifying the problem that particular customer or client have. What ingredients that when they make the call, you have that particular thing going in your favor, but should you start off the call with, hey, Mr. Such and Such, blah, 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 or how should you do an opening line? You know, of course you're going to introduce yourself. Should you just make random conversation or just make the call really quick to the point?
Okay, wow. That's a long, complicated question that you've just asked me. I'm going to take a step back. And, because there are a lot of pieces that go into making successful calls. And the idea here is it's not so much about making one great call. It's really about making a lot of contacts over time. And prospecting is actually a business process, just like any other business process. Now, most people don't look at it that way. Most people look at it as we're going to throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. That's how most people or a lot of companies execute on this. But just in the same way that if you get a new customer, you have a very specific process that you probably put that customer through to make sure that they get whatever it is that they bought, that they're happy with it, that it's working for them. There are all sorts of steps that you take. Or if you have a new customer if that new customer goes to the accounting department isn't going to say, oh, well, we're just not going to invoice them this month because we don't feel like it. They have a process that they're going to go through to make sure that every customer is paying. But when it comes to prospecting, for some reason, it's kind of like the Wild West, and people are making it up as they go along. And that actually doesn't work very well, and that's one of the reasons that people really struggle. So when I say it's a business process, what I mean is, first of all, you need to be highly targeted. One of the myths about cold calling is that it's about opening up the phone book, which is one of the dumber things that I've ever heard. It's not about opening up the phone book. It's about looking for the prospects that are likely to need whatever it is you're selling and calling them. So first, you've got to do some homework. Then you have to figure out what are you going to say when you get that person on the line. How are you going to get their attention? How are you going to get their willingness to engage with you? And what is the end result that you're looking for? And I'll give you an example. I got a call a while ago from a financial advisor. Now, he did his entire process over the telephone. And so I said to him, what is your goal when you call a brand new prospect? And he said to me that his goal was to consult with that client about their 401k plan. Now, that just was not a realistic goal to go from hello to 401k. That's not going to happen. So I told him he had to chunk it down. He had to first get the prospect's agreement to have a conversation. And then maybe the next step would be to answer some questions, to get specific answers to specific questions, and so on. So you need to, when you introduce yourself to a new prospect, what is your goal for that particular conversation? Decisions about whether you're going to leave voicemails or send emails. These are all kind of process questions, and how many times you'll call a prospect before you decide not to call them again for a while. So when you put all of these things together and you learn the skill, because bottom line, what we're talking about really is a communication skill. You've got the targeting, and you've got a process, and you've got messaging, and you've got skill, then it works. But most people pick up the phone and wing it, and that's why it doesn't work for them.
So, you know, I guess you're only as good as your top person, and maybe a certain sales manager have a skill that works for them, but not necessarily is going to work for everybody on their team or everybody they hire. And most managers want to kind of cookie cutter themselves out to this particular person, but sometimes it just really don't fit their personality. What advice you would have to a sales manager who has their own system and really need to take a look at another system that is going to work for this person's personality?
Okay, well, I'm not sure I'm 100% getting your question. What I would say is that the best way that a sales manager can help a new hire is by having a system in place, having that process in place, having messaging in place, and also something I neglected to mention before, it's really important to have some sort of software that you're using that tracks what you're doing. And the best way that a manager can help a new hire is to have all of this stuff in place so that that new hire can become productive quickly. It's actually not about personalities. It's about what works and getting results. And so if there is a system that works, it's much better to plug somebody into that system than it is to try and create a new system around somebody that may or may not stay.
I follow. Yeah, I totally agree and I understand. When you talked about you have an ebook out, The Survivor's Guide, The Cold Calling Survivor's Guide, can you name, I think, one of the most important points of that particular ebook that a manager or the person needs really take in consideration, besides doing their own homework of that particular person they're calling, what thing they really need to be aware of in order to before they make that call?
Okay, great question. Thank you for asking me about the Cold Calling Survival Guide. And the subtitle for this book is Start Making Appointments in the Next 24 Hours. And what I've done in this ebook, it's a brand new ebook, it's been out about a week now, is there are six steps that people that are looking to set appointments, there are six steps that they need to follow. And so what this ebook is about is how to take these six steps and implement on them really quickly, the six steps that you need to be effective making appointments by phone. And so you can download your free copy of the Cold Calling Survival Guide at www.coldcalling911.com.
Okay. And let's see. So out of those items, I know your first thing you talk about, the person had to believe, have that belief in themselves and confidence in themselves before they even make the call to get that fear out of rejection out of their mind. And then you moved on to number two. You did talk about creating a target. Can you elaborate a little bit more about creating a target list?
Oh, absolutely. Again, the myth is that you're just going to open up the phone book and call anyone, which is just really too dumb for words. What you want to do is create a profile of what makes a qualified prospect for you. One of the biggest mistakes that I see is sales reps spending time chasing after prospects that are not, even if they bought something, they'd be teeny tiny customers. There are so many hours in the day, and your dial is, that's like your currency. So you want to make a decision about how you're going to spend your dials. And because there are only so many hours in the day that one can spend dialing the phone, you want to spend those dials by calling the best prospect for your market, whatever the definition of best prospect is. And so it is really, really important before you ever get on the phone to, and a manager can help their team by defining this, what are the criteria, the concrete criteria that make a qualified prospect for your market. And if your people are calling prospects that don't match those criteria, they're not going to be making the sales and hitting the numbers that you want them to hit. Also, I'll share with you, I got an email recently from a woman that was, she was very upset because she called a prospect and evidently had a terrible conversation. He was very rude to her, and she sent me an email, and she said, "Wendy, I'm so upset. He was so rude. There was no reason for him to be so rude to me." And but at the end of the email, she said, "And he wouldn't have even been a very big customer." So I emailed her back. I said, "Why were you calling him in the first place? If you're calling somebody that you already know would not be a big customer, that is a hard call to make. They don't need what you're selling. If you're calling somebody that needs what you're selling, that's a much easier call to make." And so by targeting before you ever get on the telephone, that is going to make the calls easier, and it's going to make them more effective. I stumped you, huh?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, why spend the time on that? And taking that into account, because I can understand being at the very end on that particular call, but what is the first thing you should say when you introduce yourself, when you say hello to that person?
Well, when you introduce yourself to a new prospect, before you call that person, you need to have figured out, sometimes sales trainers will talk about a value proposition. And basically what that means is, what are the problems that you're solving for your customers? So you need to figure that out before you get on the phone. And whatever that problem is that you or the company or the product or the service, whatever it is that you solve, however it is that you help your customers, that's what you want to lead with. For example, I'm looking for this this email that I received so I can read it to you. Let's see. Okay, I'm not finding it really quickly, but I got an email from somebody that they were an insurance advisor, and he said that he'd call up the prospect and he would just list all the things. They sell disability and whole life and a few other products. And he said he'd start to list the products they sell, and people would hang up on him. And so then, in working with him, he became a client. We started to work on what are the problems that you solve for the clients that you work with. And he happened to work with younger people that had just gotten married, that wanted to have kids and wanted to save for college, and another population that he worked with were people that were heading towards retirement, and they wanted to make sure that they'd have enough money to retire. And so he would get on the phone, and instead of just listing all the products that he had, and what that does is it just makes you into a commodity. People think of it as a thing. And you get on the phone and you list all the things you have, and they think, I've already got that thing. I don't need another thing. So instead, he started talking about the problems that he was solving. If he was talking to somebody that was heading towards retirement, he'd talk about how he's able to help people have a safe and secure retirement. Whereas if he was talking to younger married couples, he'd talk about how he was able to help couples have children, you know, that had children, save for their college education. So the reaction he got after he made those changes, everything had totally turned around for him. People stopped hanging up on him because he was talking about something that actually interested them.
Wow. Yeah, it does make a difference. So now they can buy into it and they have the value.
The ebook, The Cold Calling Survival Guide, there is a whole section. It's called When They Say Hello, What Do You Say? And it's about how to introduce yourself to a prospect. And there's actually another report that you can get when you download Cold Calling 911 that's called Getting in the Door, How to Write an Effective Cold Calling Script. So it's a kind of a two-for-one that you get at coldcalling911.com. And I think that we may have lost Tim, but I'll continue to talk about.
No, yeah, I'm back. I'm on the other line.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know these notorious gatekeepers that a person has to get through. What advice do you have to a person? Because even if they go through your script, and is getting to that gatekeeper, that receptionist, how you break those walls down?
Well, think about it this way. If Hillary Clinton called your prospect and the prospect secretary said to Hillary Clinton, what is this in reference to? I am willing to bet that Hillary Clinton would not say, I'm the secretary of state, and before that I was a presidential candidate, and before that I was the senator from New York State, and before that, I was the first lady. Maybe you've heard of me. She'd probably say something like, this is Hillary Clinton, or this is Hillary Clinton. Is she there? Or please tell her it's Hillary Clinton. Now, I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking, hey, Wendy, I'm not Hillary Clinton. I'm not famous. Doesn't matter. Whatever you may think about Hillary Clinton, and I know some people love her, some people hate her, the woman has a lot of confidence. And so when a gatekeeper says, what is this in reference to, the answer can simply be your name, said with a whole lot of confidence. Please tell whatever the prospect's name is that your name is on the line. And if you say it with a lot of confidence, most of the time, if the prospect is there, that is really all you need to say. The problem is that people get on the phone and they hem and they haw and they sound very insecure and they sound scared, and then the gatekeeper will not put their call through.
Wow. Why a cold call is, why would you call it a cold call? I mean, in the sense that technically it is a cold call, and you're trying to get through the gatekeeper and trying to get to the prospect themselves. And people difficulty to get through a cold call, what things can they do to keep themselves from being so nervous? I know you mentioned to speak with confidence and so forth, but any other suggestions you normally will advise a person not to be so scared, afraid of a cold call? Think that there are someone like Hillary or
Ronald Reagan or someone. Any advice would you have to keep them from being so nervous?
Well, the first thing you should not do is don't beat yourself up if you're nervous. It's okay to be nervous. Everybody is nervous about one thing or another in life, so try not to beat yourself up for it. The advice that I would give you is, first of all, examine what your beliefs are about doing this. Do you believe that the prospect is just going to hang up on you? Do you believe that the prospect doesn't want to talk to you? Because those are not beliefs that help you be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare. Do your homework. Picking up the phone and winging it doesn't work. So do the homework before you ever get on the telephone. And you know what? This is a communication skill. You can learn how to do it. If download the Cold Calling Survival Guide at coldcalling911.com, or you know what? If you've hated everything I've had to say today, that's okay. Google cold calling. There are resources out there where you can learn how to do this. And you need to take action. If you're really, really scared, go get yourself a kitchen timer, set it for 15 minutes, and start making your phone calls. Anybody can make calls for 15 minutes. At the end of that time, when the timer goes off, you're done. Go do something else. And then do the same thing the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And what you'll find over time is you'll be less and less uncomfortable. You overcome fear by taking action. There's a lot of talk these days about the law of attraction. I don't actually believe in the law of attraction. I believe in the law of action.
Wow. If you're talking about, you know, for example, if you go to a voicemail, how should a person leave a message for a voicemail if they do get a person's voicemail? Because I'm sure the gatekeeper might transfer you to a voicemail.
Well, the chances of somebody calling you back if you leave one message, fairly minimal. But we've had a lot of success with clients doing voicemail campaigns where you leave a series of messages over time, and you do it in conjunction with with email if you've got an email address. So, for example, you might do a four-call sequence where you have four different voicemail messages that focus on how you help your customers. Each message is different. And you're going to leave one message per week. And if you've got the prospect's email address, when you leave a voicemail message, you also send them an email that says essentially the same thing that you've said in that particular voicemail. And the very last message is slightly different. If it's a four-call sequence, the first three messages would be about how you help your customers. And in the last message, I call it the move-on message, but you essentially tell the prospect that you won't be calling them again because you haven't heard back from them and you don't want to be a pest. And that's actually the most returned message.
Wow.
And then if you don't hear back from that prospect, if you still think that's a good lead, you can take that lead and recycle it maybe 6 months out and try that person again. But the thing is that you've reached out, if you're doing a four-call sequence, you've actually reached out to that particular prospect eight times if you've got their email address because you've left a voicemail and you've sent an email. And it greatly increases the chances that somebody will return a call.
Are there from some companies that are real small, they have CRMs. And these CRMs, I think I saw something on your site that you can recommend that would be a good fit for them, that's not really difficult to learn, and they can follow the process?
Okay. The software that I recommend is actually called Clips. KLPZ, and it is made by Contact Science. That's contactscience.com. Use the code THEQUEEN, THEQUEEN, and you'll get a discount on it. This is prospecting software. It's not actually CRM,
okay.
But it's very efficient software for prospecting.
And mainly, kind of explain what's the difference between the software from there versus just a regular CRM.
Well, CRM is customer relationship management software, and
mm-hmm.
it manages relationships. Prospecting, when you're prospecting, you don't have a relationship with this person yet. You're trying to build a relationship. So they really have two different functions.
Okay.
And
wow.
So CRM is a wonderful tool for managing relationships that you do have. Prospecting software is for starting those relationships.
Okay. Last few questions real quick. I think in your commonly asked questions you have here, what is the low-hanging fruit syndrome?
Ah, the low-hanging fruit syndrome. It kind of manifests in two different ways. One way that it manifests is people that are making business-to-business calls. In business-to-business calls, the rule is you really want to call the highest-level person that you think is the decision-maker. But what happens is people call low. They think it's easier to call a manager than to call a director, or that it's easier to call a coordinator than to call a vice president. The opposite is actually true. It is easier to call higher-level people because if you've got something compelling to say to them, they will listen to you and they will make a decision. So that's one example of the low-hanging fruit that people, they waste their time because what that does, when you call a coordinator rather than a vice president or a manager rather than a director, if the decision is made on the director or vice president level and you're talking to the coordinator, all that happens is that person is then going to say, well, I need to ask my boss, and you have totally lost control of what's going on. So you're much better off starting out high. The other way that it manifests itself is that, and this goes back to what we were saying about targeting, is if your sweet spot is companies with a revenue of $25 million, I'm just making this up, but let's say that's your sweet spot. Lots of times reps will think it's easier to call companies that have $5 million in revenue. But it's not really, because if the 25 number really is your sweet spot, there's a reason for that that won't be there at the $5 million mark. And so it just makes it harder, and if they do close the sale, it's going to be a teeny-weeny sale instead of the larger sale that you might have gotten if they were calling well-targeted leads.
Okay. Last couple of questions real quick. Has an email and social media replaced cold calling?
No, absolutely not. I'll read you a study here. I am quoting Steve Richard, who is a co-founder of Voresight, and they did this study. Quote, after tracking the origin of 635 scheduled meetings with vice president-level executives, our reps discovered that 78% of the meetings were scored by conversations over the telephone and only 9% through email with no conversation. 78% conversation over the telephone, 9% email. I just saw a similar study last week. MarketingSherpa.com had a study, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was very similar numbers where they tracked meetings that were scheduled, and they did it with an email campaign. They actually sent out an email first, and then they called up the prospects. And very similar numbers where the numbers were much, much higher when a rep talked to the person over the telephone versus just sending out an email. So all roads, it doesn't matter where the lead originates, whether it's a referral or you get that lead through social media or through networking, at some point, if you want to convert, you need to talk to the person on the phone.
Absolutely. How do you convince, when you speak to a prospect, how can you talk to them without actually selling them something? It's just a general conversation. What are your thoughts on how to approach that?
Well, the concept of cold calling has been very demonized. The concept of selling has also, in our culture, been very, very demonized. And I get a lot of emails from people where they'll say, Wendy, how can I convince a prospect to speak with me without giving them the feeling that I'm trying to sell them something? And the word sell is always in quotation marks. And, you know, I'm on a mission to reclaim the word sell. The word sell in our culture has come to mean something other than what it actually means. I looked it up in the dictionary, and what it actually means is to persuade someone of the value or the worth of whatever it is you're selling. So the concept of value is inherent in the definition, but instead it's come to mean manipulating people into buying things they don't need and don't want. And that's not what we're doing here. So I want to reclaim the word sell. And the other thing is that when you call up a prospect and you want to set up a meeting with them, or you want to take them to an online meeting, or you want to have a conversation over the phone, they know that you're a salesperson. You are not fooling anyone. So get this idea of not being a salesperson out of your head. It's much better to think about it as, am I providing a product or a service that I believe in, that I believe has value? Do I take care of my customers? And if the answer to all those questions are yes, then hold your head up high and sell.
Wow. It does make sense. And lastly, you have five things on here. To keep in mind, you have one, make a call. Can you talk about those five things if you have them in front of you? Or if not, just read them out. You have, make a phone call. Okay.
Well, the first thing is, when you're prospecting, these are the things you want to keep in mind. The first is you're going to need to make phone calls. And the second thing is you're going to need to make a lot of phone calls. This is not about making one perfect phone call. It is about many phone calls over time. And even if you're only making calls for 15 minutes, if you do it every single day, that really builds over time. The third thing to keep in mind is that you have something of value to offer. If you represent a product or a service that has a value, then you're proceeding with integrity. If you believe in that value, and you know what? If you don't believe in what you're selling, go find something else to sell. And number four is how you think about this is 100% within your control. And for those of you who struggle, and I have great empathy with those of you who are struggling with this, you do not have to continue to struggle. It won't happen overnight, but you can learn the skills that you need, and you can also shift how you think about it. And number five is it's only a phone call. Nobody is going to die. If a prospect says no to you, you're not going to die. So those are my five things.
Well, anything you'd like to leave our audience with regarding you and your company and any advice you have regarding cold calling?
I want to invite our listeners to go to www.coldcalling911.com to download the Cold Calling Survival Guide. And you can also go to queenofcoldcalling.com, which is my other website. And you can also at queenofcoldcalling.com, you can download the free report, Getting in the Door, How to Write an Effective Cold Calling Script. So that's it. Double whammy. You can also email me through both of those websites. So it's queenofcoldcalling.com and coldcalling911.com.
Great. And I think the system, the appointment setting software, you also mentioned the title and a code?
Yes, that it's called CLIPS, K-L-P-Z. It is made by Contact Science. That's contactscience.com, contactscience.com. And if you enter the code THE QUEEN, THEQUEEN, all one word, then you would get a discount on that software. Or just tell them the Queen sent you.
That's cute. Well, we really appreciate you coming on to the program and kind of talking about cold calling. Thank you so very much.
Oh, my great pleasure. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, great. Thank you again. And for the very last time, your telephone number there in New York, if they want to contact your company?
Oh, the phone number in New York is 212-799-4389.
Great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Again, this has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio. Highlights of this interview would be available on blog.applecapitalgroup at the end of the day. Thank you for listening, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.